Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
What's up, everybody? We are back for Whiskey and Wires. We're going to do it a little bit differently today. Actually, no, we're not going to do it a little bit differently. We did have a guest.
Yeah, second week in a row, I think.
That's right. That's right. You guys are turning it into like a guest show.
Yeah, we need to start writing down who all we had and get like a little wall of recognition going on the website or something. Yeah.
This episode brought to you by Floss. We even have some sponsors. How's everybody doing? I am Tyler.
This is Ethan.
And a special guest,
Peter Vandywalker, the dentist.
The dentist.
The tooth driller.
Pain inflictor. And
Ed.
And Ed. He's our OG Ed. We're going to call you Bartender Ed because I think everybody needs like a label.
All right.
Because you got the whiskey. You're the keeper of the whiskey.
Okay. Sounds good.
Done. Got MC Tyler Dental. We've got Bartender. You need one.
I'm just the guy in the chair.
Sasquatch.
He's the dungeon master.
Yes, there you go.
Oh man.
Keeper of the dice.
I think I'm the between you and me, we're the only consistents.
Yeah. We're the intellectuals, let's just call it that.
Yeah, all right.
Oh man. And as customary, we are having some tasty treats. Now we've got a special little our control burn. Everybody knows the control burn. We don't have to go over that.
Yeah.
Again. Well, what do we got for our control burn?
Jim Beam.
Just white labeled it.
Jim Beam.
So do you? Okay, so I don't know. Tell us a little bit about your whiskey bourbon background. Do you go with it?
If it's there.
So do you know what a control burn is?
A control burn. Yeah, that's it's like an experiment. You have your control. It's the constant, you know, it's the good old Jim Beam doesn't let you down and it's just straight and you know what you're getting. But with other things, you're like, oh, this has elements of
chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and fear.
So aromatic.
And this is actually our first time drinking with you.
Yeah.
So previous to this, we've had a completely professional relationship, and now we're all drinking together.
That's pretty much where it goes. It's hard to drink at the dental office. You know, there's so many rules and regulations, and it's really looked down upon. And
really? I do it over there all the time.
Well, I know.
Because you can.
But everybody knows about Ethan.
So, with the control burn, kind of, we use the Jim Beam white label because it's not, for lack of a better term, a very special bourbon, right? But what you do is you take a good size in your mouth and just swirl it around.
Oh, I didn't do that.
And just let it burn. And then you
shock the palate, as they say.
Oh.
And what it does is it acclimates your palate. So when you go to taste the good stuff, you don't get the alcohol burn, but you get all the flavors.
Oh, it's like ginger.
Sweet. Yeah.
Oh man, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
If I was a dentist or in that field, I would have a good time messing with people. Like I show up with like a beer, it'd be like someone would just be like, hey, how's it going today? And start talking and they'd be like, what the hell?
Well, dude, on Fridays, our water lines, we fill it full of gin and vodka. And we just mix it right in their mouths. It really makes Fridays so much better.
Put them with that Laffy juice.
That's when you bring in all your nervous patients to help put them at ease while they're having their procedures.
I have always, forever hated going to the dentist. My mom was a hygienist, or no, assistant, I don't know, whatever. So she'd come home and had that office smell, right? And I always associated, because I had cavities, getting shots, getting freaking, it just hurt. It was pain, the sound of the drill.
Well, you're probably a pretty good brusher and flosser because you don't want to go back to the dentist.
Right? By now, yes, I am. Okay. By now.
Yes, doctor. That's my response to not wanting to go. Absolutely taking better care of myself.
It's the patients who are like, oh, I hate coming here. I don't like your thing. I like the smell of the drill. I'm like, okay, well, so you must have pretty good oral hygiene, right?
No.
That's like,
well, we'll see you back.
You're not really doing anything to avoid coming here, are you?
At all. Oh, man. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about what you guys do specifically within the medical / dental space, sphere, vertical, whatever you want to call it, which is why we have Dr. Peter out here to be our very honored special guest.
Absolutely. Oh, I am honored beyond belief.
Have you heard any of the shows before?
I plead the fifth.
Yeah.
I meant to do my homework. And I was out last night. I was playing some Diablo 4. And I'm like, man, I should probably be getting ready for this podcast. But I did a couple dungeons instead.
No. See, you're coming in fresh. You're coming in authentic.
Don't even know.
There's no bias beforehand. This is great. So none of our past flaws or anything like that's going to, you know.
Al natural. I'm just, you know, going
there
with
you go. There you go.
Oh, natural. Yes. So, okay. So we have to finish the control burn, which that's on me. And then which one?
You're the last one there, brother.
I want to switch it again. I want to switch it all.
Are you not supposed to do it in one take? One take? I just
put it. You just shot it.
That's fine.
It was like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Listerine. I got nothing on Listerine. Not even the mid stuff, but like that bourbon looking original Listerine.
The original yellow one. What flavor is that?
Burn.
I'm going to get to the coaches meeting and then all the kids and I'm like, you guys have to take over.
I'm here in spirit.
Yeah.
Don't ask what's in the koozie.
We got Whistle Pig 6-year. Piggyback, they call it. 100% rye. Well, I know you're a rye guy, so I catered today.
Yeah.
So this is a 100% rye. So usually it's only like 56, 58, whatever the percentage is, but this is 100%.
And you said something interesting. That is the only brand or whiskey that does it 100%?
That I know of. I'm sure there's some out there, but I haven't researched it.
The bootleggers who they only have rye.
Right. No, these guys are 100% rye.
Yeah, especially Whistle Pig's a pretty popular brand. It has its, you know, pretty high scale, whatever. Is that the Boss Hog or whatever?
Oh,
is there?
Boss Hog is the
is there. They're upscale, but they're Piggyback. They're 100% rye. It's looking forward to this.
Yeah
these
gift given one.
I like rye as well.
Really good mixed drinks, cocktails, old fashions.
Yeah
You know, I know the answer to this, but for the slow people in the audience who may not know, what makes a rye?
I was actually thinking that.
Yeah,
I should know that, but I was
they use rye grain instead of mixing it, usually
with corn.
Like a bourbon, it's a 51% corn, and then it's a high rye or whatever mixture of rye. Yeah, so whatever mixture of rye, and then they put wheat or like a malted barley or something that's in their mash bill. For this particular rye, it's all rye. So they don't put any wheat, any barley. Any
so it's gluten free.
This is gluten free.
That's important.
Oh. Is it aged in a specific barrel?
These are not. These are just oak barrels.
Just oak barrel.
It's bourbon is the one that we're
at. Gluten-free barrels. Hey, celiacs is no joke.
Well, no, here's the thing, and good question. So my daughter-in-law she has celiac disease, so she can't have any gluten. I mean, it's to the point where you can't even use the same frying pan.
Yeah, seriously?
Yeah. It's bad. Yeah.
Wow.
So
when they get all bloaty?
It messes her up, yeah.
Okay.
It's like she's getting stabbed in the abdomen.
Wow.
So with that, it's gluten-free until they seal it, but they seal it with a natural paste that has gluten in it.
Interesting.
So that no longer is gluten-free.
Oh, wow.
So
there's so much that I learn on this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, bartender Ed.
Wait, you don't have gluten paste in your house, in your kitchen?
I don't know what gluten paste is.
That's a staple of the Vandy Walker house.
Really?
Basically,
get your gluten paste.
They seal their barrels with the leftover, the spents from the distilling process, which has wheat and barley and that kind of stuff in it.
Waste not and all that. Use all of it.
Damn.
All right.
Well, while you're pouring. Okay, so let's get into, I'm sure we're talking about the other one because we got one more tasty treat to sip on, but why is it so different doing work within the medical side?
Quickest and best answer to that is HIPAA. There's a lot of...
Hungry HIPAA.
Right, hungry HIPAA.
Health Insurance Portability and Protection Act.
I was just going to ask what that was. I don't even know.
So glad to have you.
Google it.
So glad to have you here.
Wait.
So it's all based on insurance.
No, that was two piece. I was incorrect. Health Insurance Portability Act. Oh, I got to look it up.
Affordability Act. just kidding.
Holy balls. That was so smooth.
Yeah, it's good, huh?
Zero bite. Absolutely zero bite.
Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act.
Accountability, not affordability.
1996.
See, maybe
everyone puts two P's in there.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
Everyone
said hungry hippo.
But it's HIPAA.
It's HIPAA, not hippo.
So I caught that. It's when you, it's portability, meaning how do you transfer patient information from point A to B and C?
Basically.
That would, yeah.
And it's like an umbrella term, like, oh, I have HIPAA rights. Like, you can't tell other people what's going on with like your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a violation of HIPAA policy.
If your organization shared it or it leaked?
Correct.
Got it. So I could come back and be like, I'm really mad. And everybody knows I have a cavity or whatever.
Right, right.
Uses it against whatever.
Right.
Yep.
And that's where the IT department comes.
It is. Because HIPAA, there was a large focus for HIPAA as far as just the transferring of physical files and the sharing of information between medical institutions in that way. As IT has become more and more integrated within the medical space within the last 30 years, right? It's had a lot of additions to it that concern the electronic transfer of data, but also the electronic handling of data when it's not being transferred. And so it covers everything from how to store patient information on a computer, things like backups, and also that transfer of data, the forms and paperwork that you got to fill out in order to approve the, you know, transfer and everything. It's a very wide umbrella term. And there's a lot in the IT space, especially when it comes to security, that we kind of treat as the baseline, as what we want to get people, you know, within fixed.
Yeah.
Just to get them secure at a baseline. And that covers probably 80% of HIPAA.
Does all the information, do you guys store it or is it stored at your place?
It's in the cloud.
Yeah.
It's in the cloud.
Physical
server. It's physical. It's in Palo Alto. It's in, you know,
wherever.
You just like your portfolio, you want to diversify your storage because if one goes down, oh, it's okay.
We got another. Got redundancy.
Yep. It also varies from institution to institution exactly what that looks like.
They're different. What you mean from like medical to dental to chiropractic?
Well, more of the 10-person dental office to the 500 employee dental office.
If there is one,
more like the hospitals and things like that that have more integrated and built up internal IT, probably have more resources and are able to do that differently and need to do that differently with that much information flowing than the people who have 10, 20 patients a day sort of thing.
Got it. Well, the different weight of how much information you're storing.
Correct.
Virtual files. They're in the computer.
And so
they're in the cloud.
And so when we as an MSP or as any other IT professional becomes involved with these institutions, HIPAA and other compliances, because HIPAA's in our field, it's just another compliancy, is one of the first and foremost things that we integrate ourselves with within the institution to make sure that it's up to snuff. Because if HIPAA's at 100%, then from an IT security standpoint, they're in a good place, and then you build from there.
Right.
But it is absolutely necessary because it's expensive to be hit with a HIPAA violation. It's something like
Per issue.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh yeah, per patient Mrs. Jones, and then Mrs. Robertson, each one.
Yeah. Who polices that?
It's more like what if it happens. That's when it comes down. No one, as far as I know, does anyone inspect?
I don't think anyone inspects.
Not like OSHA, where OSHA will come in make sure that,
you got your harnesses on and hard hats. There's nobody going around to every dental office and they're not assigned.
There's like HIPAA board sorts, but that usually happens when there's been a breach, when there's been a vulnerability, when the correct steps are made to report what happened.
Right.
Then there's the investigation as to, well, what was leaked? Why was it leaked? Was everything like how it was supposed to be? And if not, wham, here's your 50,000 per instance sort of thing.
Yeah. Then a root cause analysis is done. And
yeah,
I guess I think that if you are caught, then, and if it isn't done, that then you can have some serious trouble if you're not correcting the problem.
Correct.
Yeah. I think the clients can also inquiry, like they can say, hey, I saw front office, they leave the computers unlocked and I can see.
Oh, just anybody that walks in there, right. You could go and report, so to speak.
Yeah, if they can see the front desk computer and they see other people's charts, they can call and report it.
Ooh.
Plus, one thing to think about is, say you have a chart with 10 people's information and you drop the chart and it's left on the floor or whatever, and that gets reported and it gets seen. That's 10 different charges.
And then because
it's per person and it's per type of information. So say it's a $50,000 charge, you're spending $500,000 for a piece of paper on the floor. So it's very important to have HIPAA done correctly.
Yeah. Hey, so does HIPAA guy come out or gal, you know, kind of like if they get reported, somebody calls in to like HIPAA helpline or something like that?
I'm sure that they have. I'm sure they do that because I've heard of stories of that happening, but I've never seen it in practice, at least with our clients.
We've been lucky enough that most of the audits that we've done for compliancy are done from internal or third party, like investors and things like that.
Yeah.
And so the actual HIPAA aspects have been checked for our purposes, but not by an official board. Which is good because we can check all the boxes and make sure that everything's good, but there's none of that, I guess, weight of stress that comes with any you know, federal audit.
Have you guys ever had a client where it's like, no, I'm not going to do that?
And yes.
That's so stupid. Why would I spend money on that? Oddly, you're stupid.
Yeah. Oddly enough, we fired one.
Another dental office.
He did not want to comply.
Dude, good for you.
One of the partners in the business decided that it was all hoax and it's a money-making scheme.
Good Lord.
Yep.
And we just looked at each other and went, okay. So we let him vent and we're like, we want nothing to do with this company.
We work.
Can you guys get hemmed up on that?
Yes.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Which is
so it's not just the dental office. It's your side too.
Because they were the ones that were, you know, it's like if something goes wrong with a patient and they're my patient, it's my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're the ones who are using the wrong side of the toothbrush, it's not my fault. But it goes back to me because, you know, the bug stops here. And, you know, they're the IT experts for the brand. And if, however, you guys were doing proper documentation, you know, client did not decline this, decline that.
Yeah. Emails and all that stuff.
What they wanted is they wanted us to give them a form that they said would absolve us if they ever got popped for HIPAA.
And we're like, no, well, we ain't going to play by the rules and dance.
Our tools, we have a set of tools that we use, an MSP set of tools, security, you know, anti-malware, crypto, all that. You have to have that stuff now. I mean, now as in the last 10 years, you have to have that or we will not be your IT company.
I have no idea why your mic's going in and out like that.
I don't know.
I can hear you.
Is it coming out?
It just goes in and out. I don't know why.
I know my headset's going out. I just don't know if
that. Yeah, I can still hear you.
Yeah.
I can just, I don't know.
It's the wires. It's the whiskey in the wires. The whiskey is in the wires. Pour some more down there so it lubricates them. Can we talk about this rye?
Yeah. It is really good.
It's really good.
Well,
I'm not a rye guy.
A lot of this has to do with the control bourbon first that you acclimate your palate. So now you're tasting.
I was wondering that.
You ever listen to like, people say, oh, yeah, I can taste like dry cherries and this. And you're thinking, no, all I feel is the burn.
That's the same thing.
This is it right now.
Oh, man, I'll do like drinking red wine and my wife. I'm like, it tastes like red wine. She's like, you don't taste that? Like, nope.
Yeah. Well, I taste poison for my body.
Yeah,
well,
the control bourbon.
Sometimes you pay more, sometimes you pay less for it.
Yeah.
So interesting enough, right? The notes with this.
This is good because I want to see if I taste this.
So this stuff's made in Vermont, just in case anybody.
I was gonna say this tastes like New England.
Yeah, almost in fall.
Yeah.
There you go.
I could taste the falling leaves.
Part of that, if I can interject, is rye generally tastes a little bit like apple, right? Green apple.
Usually,
and
green
and apple is a very fall like flavor.
This particular.
So many people listening to this. You're full of shit.
Right, get your control bourbon. With 100% rye, you're going to get a different flavor. So here, the flavor is supposed to be a little spicy, cocoa. It says you have a little bit of cinnamon.
I can get on a little cinnamon. It was spicy.
A little bit of, I don't know about this. It's like they call it leather.
I've never chewed on leather before, so I don't know. So
you haven't?
Hold on, where's my knife sheath?
I love the taste of leather.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's supposed to be like cocoa.
I've known what it tastes and like.
And a little zest, like lemon zest.
Whoops.
These people who can taste all this stuff, I
like this.
Look, we're going to move past that. Okay. I'm trying to help you out, man. You know, you want to get out of the hole, you got to put down the shovel.
She doesn't listen to the podcast. She doesn't listen to our podcast. She's not interested in whiskey and wires.
So, I myself call this. That's what I would call this, is like a baking spice. Cinnamon.
Yeah, I
apples.
A little cinnamon for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, this is when we all get hot.
It tastes tastes like regret. No, it's good. It's really good. Yeah.
How much is this? How much is this? Was it good? What did it run?
I think originally, I think this was a $50 bottle. Nowadays, you know how things are now.
Yeah.
People make this thing such
ridiculous.
People go out and buy it and off the shelves, and then it starts to go up.
Totally.
And you can't buy it.
Yep.
You know what's really good? What's Black Velvet.
Canadian whiskey. Plastic bottle. The plastic bottle. Bottom shelf.
You know? You throw that in like a Budweiser after two, you're fine. You don't even know.
Your toes tingle.
You don't even know.
All right. Now I know you have the military ties. Are you sure you're not a maintainer? Because that's such a maintainer thing to do.
I would call that the military special. This is the military special right here.
Yeah. The plastic bottles of hard liquor. It's a winner.
It was no early times. That early times, I don't care. There is no time for early time. Oh, that is a terrible.
That's like the, what's the freaking vodka that's like that? The pop-off?
Pop-off. I was just thinking about that plastic
man. Yeah. Where you go... Putting some jungle juice in a cooler. First hangover you'll have in your life.
Isopropyl alcohol. Might as well be the same.
Oh, that's just so dirty.
Yeah.
Vodka is one of the only ones that I can't drink, that I drink in moderation now, because it's the only one I've ever had a bad experience with. Yeah. And it sticks with you. It's bad.
Those breaks, yo.
You ever had Goldschlager?
I have not the longest time. That used to be a go-to.
It was like the OG Fireball.
I want to try it.
And it was highbrow.
With
was
the gold. It's gold flakes. Yeah.
You didn't have a lot of it. Well, because as a kid, couldn't afford it. So if you did, everybody was in on it.
That and Jaeger was the thing back in the day.
Keep a bottle of Jaeger in your freezer.
Oh, that's dirty. Hey, you guys, what do you want to do tonight? You want to go drink some Jaeger and fight? Sure. Let's do it.
Oh, man. This is... The quality of this podcast degraded real quick after that first one.
It goes with it. I did have a question. So that brought me up. With all these rules and regulations that you guys have to go with it, do you actually physically go down to the dental office and do like a inspection?
Oh, all the time.
Not just remote VPN and all that.
We do our, when we first get involved with a new client, especially when they have special compliance needs, such as a medical office or something along those lines. The initial inspection and the initial meeting is incredibly important.
Yeah,
because we need to know their baseline. We need to have a roadmap of, if you're not up to where you need to be, we need to first and foremost document that you're not there, and document these are the steps we're taking in case you get pinged. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, you have kind of that gap insurance almost, is the feel.
Right.
And then after that, once we have secured it and made sure that's fine, there are regular checks done.
What does that look like?
It varies from client to client and compliance to compliance.
In Pier 210 Dental Group in Auburn, California.
In Pier 210 Dental Group in Auburn, California. Plug here.
y'all need to go to Pier 210.
Sponsored this week by.
Yeah, it's in the same parking lot as Pier 1.
Well, for you guys, we have a lot of automated checks, especially on the servers, because we manage your servers as well, and you have on-site servers there that feed into your backups. It's making sure those backups are correct, making sure your servers are working, which we're actually doing server work for you guys right now.
It's a painful migration, too. You guys have over 11... Was it 11 million entries?
Something like that.
And we have been doing it over the weekend.
Drill, fill, and bill, baby.
We've been doing all the replication over the weekend, and it's a lot.
Yeah.
But wait. What is it? How many?
They have 8 terabytes of data.
But what's the? How many entries?
That's over a lot of videos.
111 million?
So that's an entry being like, we just did
the sad part is it's not.
An x-ray has like 5 or 6 entries with it. So it's got a bunch of little files that go with the actual image.
But we also do 3D cone beam computerized tomography scans. So CAT scans.
Mm-hmm. And those are huge.
That is a lot of data.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, we started.
I think there were 5 gig a piece.
Something like that.
No way, it's not that.
They're pretty substantial. I don't know if they're that size or if that's only the big ones or the compiled ones, but they're significant compared to your average 3D scans.
And you have to store all that.
I want
to store.
Yeah, because it's a mostly full head and neck scan.
I'm pretty sure I saw the folders when I first. You guys were running out of disk space a while back, and we had increased the data. I was live migrating some, and they were 5 gig.
And what do you think about that server room?
Every time we go in there, we steal a fan from somewhere else and set it up before we get in for the long haul.
Why is Ethan taking off his shirt?
Big Rock says their shirts are scans. Who's going in?
Hey, speaking of server rooms.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what is the ideal conditions to have your server stored in?
AC.
AC.
Is that for you guys or is that for the equipment?
Both. Mostly for the equipment.
Degrees.
Yeah.
You would want to take a nap. That's your gauge. And maybe have a blanket.
Yeah.
What size room?
About 4 times as large as the one that you guys have now.
it also depends on how many servers are being used for you guys.
We have 3 times.
You have 3 full servers and then 1 side box that's doing a server-like job that was given to you by a vendor.
Yeah, the side box.
Yeah.
RCU.
Yeah. And then hopefully we'll be replacing 3 of those servers with 1 actual good server.
Mega server.
Very soon. That's part of all the data transfer and everything like that is just getting that. Server projects tend to be fun, especially when you have HIPAA and you have 20 years worth of X-rays and data.
Yeah, we got to keep that stuff for at least 7 years.
Yep. Is that what it is?
Once a patient becomes inactive, we need to hold their records for at least 7 years.
So, question for you. On the demo side, 2 most important things that you feel you have to have from an MSP.
Well, first thing, what is MSP?
Managed
service provider.
That's us.
I need that. For the people listening, what's MSP?
Yeah. Well,
USP, yeah, you know me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say for access. Number one. Is access
to them
to help, because
not just a phone tree. You're talking like, bro, pick up the phone. I just text you.
I'm pretty sure you have both of my phone numbers.
Yeah,
I was going to ask. So we never really ask our clients, our availability, how is it for you as a customer?
Dude, you're always there. I'm pretty sure I've got you when you're on the toilet, dude. And you just like,
you probably have.
You do this, that, and the other. But how awesome also is it to have someone who knows tech?
Right.
You guys probably have a lot of offices where like, I don't even know where the mouse is.
Okay.
They pick up the mouse like, hello, computer.
Yeah. What does this thing do?
Right.
So I would say communication, number 1, access to them and their availability. So communication and availability. Because everything else, anybody can do. What you're doing, that takes some chutzpah, and you got to have cojones to do what you guys are doing. But to be able to do it and have access to you guys like that, because
it's needed.
It's needed. Like, I got to take this film. Like, why is it not working?
Oh, you got to, did you turn it off and turn it back on again? And it kind of points to the 2 different types of IT services that are big within business to business right now. There's the time and material sort where things break, you reach out to them because you know they'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can kind of afford to be more of an asshole in a sense. Because they're there to do a job. They're not there to cater a relationship. And if you like the work, then you like the work because the quality of the work.
Okay, and we are back. We have no idea what just happened. But
sorry,
our card was full. And we've talked about games and things and all that stuff, but we are back.
Go figure, we're a bunch of nerds and we have interests and hobbies that we like to talk about when we experience technical difficulties.
Yep. And it happens.
And I think Dr. Van Walker was just finishing up on his
what's important
of our services.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Accessibility, I think, was the last thing.
It's bliss.
Kind of like these larceny.
They are. Oh my gosh! Can we talk about larceny just for a little bit?
Yeah.
Larceny. Who wants to go out and commit larceny?
Unfortunately, with the technical snafu, y'all missed our initial sips and gasps and ahs and everything. But now we're about Hasiglath in. And we're well acquainted with the flavors and ready to chat about it. It is fantastic.
I did immediately get cinnamon.
Yep.
I did. Was that the main one?
Yeah.
Cinnamon. And we didn't talk about it before. That's just 100% what I had.
There's also hints of molasses, fig.
So my go-to, which is why there's none here because I don't collect well, has been High West. I love High West. This might be creeping.
This is going to be hard to find. This is a barrel proof larceny. They have the standard larceny, which I think is like 94 proof, I think.
Yeah.
This one, what is proof on this? It's a.
Hey, where does High West
come from? 125.8.
Utah.
Oh.
Salt Lake.
So this is
Park City, I think.
Park City.
Park City.
In Utah, yeah. Land of the Mormons, comes out this knockout.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, buy it on Sundays.
Yeah.
So this is a foolproof 125.8. And they come at a different, it's whatever the barrels come out at.
But, yeah, because it's barrel proof.
Yep. Yeah, so uncut, unfiltered.
Uncut, unfiltered.
Which, so if you ever had the standard larceny, so, Jim Beam has their, they have a few lines of what they call, beginner's bourbons.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be the larceny on their side would be a good beginner's bourbon. It's a wheated bourbon, so it has a higher percentage of wheat.
That's so good.
Yeah, so it's like 68% corn, 20% wheat, and 12% malted barley.
I just want to sit and watch the Niner Giants game tonight with that. Yeah. That's it. Put nothing in it. Usually, I've been adding like LaCroix to it with some ice, and it's just
it's so good,
refreshing. Whatever. This right here, because it's been a while since I've just sipped.
Yeah.
I could 100% do that.
Yeah, for sure.
I kind of love that sparkling water has gone mainstream. No longer is it the Perrier, the Pellegrino. We get LaCroix.
Yeah. And it's hibiscus.
Well, the truck may have driven through a hibiscus field at some point while delivering the flavorless water, but yeah. But
I will tell you, the difference is the bubbles.
Yes.
Big bubbles, little bubbles.
Perrier has little to me tiny bubbles.
And that the littler the bubbles, the littler the headache, right?
Well, here's
when you're mixing and
all that stuff. You get headaches from that stuff?
No. I mean, if you're mixing.
Oh, what is that that carbonated water that you turned me on to? Oh.
Those are Topo Chico.
I found out that I love Topo Chico, just the straight water.
Really?
Because I've seen all the commercials for the Topo Chico hard seltzer.
Yeah, I was going to say, and have some of that in
and
there.
Everything like that. And I'm, never been that big of a fan of hard seltzers. I'll have a White Claw every now and again, and it's enjoyable. But the Topo Chico, just the water. It's a mineral water, so it tastes, it has some flavor to it, and it is incredibly carbonated, and I love it.
You like the carbonate?
I love carbonate, and this is coming from a guy I used to drink, I won't say the number, but way too much Coke Zero and stuff like that.
You need to not do that. That's not good for you.
No, it isn't. And so I've mostly stopped drinking sodas. Don't look at the 7-Up sitting there next to me.
I was going to say, literally in my mind, I'm like, didn't you grab?
I'm looking at it.
Some 7-Up?
But the Topo Chico hard seltzers were very good for me for like a transition out into drink waters and flavored waters now.
The ones that you had that I gave you weren't. Hard seltzers.
No, those were just waters, and it was the glass bottles of Topo Chico.
Yeah,
and they're way cheaper than like the Liquid Death or anything like that. That are those really mainstream flavored ones. Yeah,
stupid Prime.
And they really did it for me. Yeah, so that was the little carbonated water tangent. Da, da.
And now we know
that nobody asked you to go on.
And knowing is half the battle.
Here we
are.
we tend to tangent somewhere around the third.
Hey, does bottle. Anybody want to talk about teeth?
we
want to know, dude. This is it. You have unlimited access.
We should probably do a follow up show on that. Let's just talk about that 100%.
No, what we'll do is we'll end this episode and immediately start recording the next one, already having drinks in us, and we have a doctor here ready to talk about teeth.
Talk about
teeth. That's the thing that I.
honestly, this is something that I've always really gotten from you. You mentioned that you knew that you want to be a dentist from a young age. You obviously have a passion for it. And that's something that I find very interesting is that we get a dentist here and we're all very, you know, familiar and comfortable with you. But then you drink a few drinks and you want to talk more about teeth.
Mm-hmm. I have a jar in my car.
What?
Of teeth. You want to see it?
That makes me incredibly uncomfortable.
No way.
I'm just kidding. I always joke. I'm like, oh, you want to take your tooth home? And they're like, I take it out. And they're like, no, I don't want to. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll add it to my
collection. I want you to know it took
about. I don't have a collection.
It took about half a second for all the comfort we've built over the years to just disappear.
Go away.
It
just
That's the life of a dentist.
You make
everything is fine until you start talking about the teeth. It's all weird.
We're here for IT, not teeth.
I saw a look on Tyler's face.
Oh, dude, God gave me a lot of gifts. A strong stomach is not one of them. If we start talking, no joke, I will walk out because I'll start feeling queasy and pass out.
You have serious like demons when it comes to your like the dentist,
dude. Anything. In the Air Force, I was given when they made me give blood, Sprite in one arm, ice around my neck, passed out. No, I can't. No way.
Can I tell you a story really quick?
Nope. I will get no sweats and walk
no,
out.
No, there's no details. There's no details. Okay. So when I was Air Force, I did IV sedation and I took out wisdom teeth.
See? Already.
I won't go into details.
I'm not even faking.
I don't know. I'm not going to look at
my kids. If anybody falls and they bleed, if you were to fall and bleed, I'd be, figured out.
I did not know that.
Weak stomach, like terribly weak.
We'll get into that.
So every IV sedation patient, they can't drive, obviously.
Yeah.
So they need to have an escort. And so I went out to the waiting room, reception room, to talk to this young airman who was the escort for this other young airman. So we got the blind leading the blind.
Yeah.
And I I explained, you know, hey, you know, there was this one tooth and there was, you know, stuff and, you know, you got to take care of it. You got to take care of your guy. Yeah. And then so his eyes just like roll back. And and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh shit, this guy just fainted. Yeah. Did he faint?
Yep.
And then the, and then this other young airman, you know, young airman, right? One stripe. He looks at me and he says, oh my God, did he just die? And then the front desk is like, oh my God, should we call a code blue? And I'm like, no, guys, he just fainted. And in my mind, I'm like, oh God, I hope he just fainted because if I'm delaying care, it's my, here he comes. Oh, he's okay. He's okay. Hey, here we go. It's like, my God, did I just faint? I'm like, yeah, you did. Yeah. Are you okay? He's like, yeah. You can't tell me anything about that.
That's me.
And I'm like, you should have told me that ahead of time.
I definitely don't like seeing injuries. I donated blood for years, even as like, sorry. that one thing I'm fine with, that one aspect I'm fine with, and I've done that for years. But seeing other people get hurt, you know, if there's ever any videos of, this guy fell while playing basketball and look at his arm, I can't.
Yeah.
It just
makes me like meat crayons?
I don't want to know what that is.
He turned into a meat crayon.
Nope.
Just go to Reddit.r/meatcrayon.
I would really enjoy.
That thing. I don't know.
It's almost as fun as Reddit space sticks. You should go there. Wait, can you leave that out?
No, that's in.
That's it?
That's in.
Okay.
I would like to point out this is a guest on our show. We at Intuitive Networks do not endorse these decisions that you are probably going to make after hearing this advice. And when you go to these questionable Reddit pages and when you get viruses on your computer,
call us.
Hey, they would only get viruses if they downloaded something and they clicked it.
That's how they do. Oh, man. Well, hey, awesome. Thank you for the insight that you have on that in the dental space. And then actually how you guys take care of that and fulfill that. I think it's actually super interesting. I do want to have us back and talk about
No, you don't. You're just saying that because you want listeners. That's all you want.
I don't have to be here.
I'm going to be in a remote location.
Yeah.
No, but you'll hear it and I'll provide so much gratitude.
Call in.
See, it's It's fine to have him in a remote location, even if he can hear it, because the key is to not have a microphone in front of him as you go into the details.
I'll pass out and fall and bleed myself. It's terrible.
You'll look in a mirror and pass out again.
No, when I was a kid, and my mom, actually, I think she has video, I would get lightheaded when I was wiggling my own teeth.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad. I couldn't do it. No, and I'd wait till you go, and then it'd just fall out.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It was nasty.
My son, my eldest, my 7-year-old, has now lost 3 teeth within the last like month and a half. His baby teeth are coming out.
Yeah, dude. That's isn't perfect. That thing? That's like clockwork.
Yep.
Clockwork. Baby sharks.
He lost the bottom two first.
Bottom two front ones first. Oh, one within a day of the other.
It's funny how that works.
It's like I know what I'm doing.
It's like you went to school for
this. It's like I'm happy.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out on Whiskey and Wires. We will see you in our next episode.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for coming too, buddy.
Hey, keep smiling.
Don't pass out.
Keep smiling.
All right, everybody. Bye.